Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. Let me see. I'm just going over my jihad report here. What have we got ourselves today in this holy month of Ramadan-a-ding-dong? Let me see. 271 terror attacks, 27 suicide bombings, 1,419 dead bodies, and 2,676 wounded. Well, guys, don't worry. Ramadan-a-ding-dong is nearly over. Just a few more days, I promise you. I promise you. However, I will see you back here in about 3 minutes.
JoeDanMedia.com.
That is correct. We are entitled to do anything it takes to survive this Islamic scourge. Like I say, this is the Red Fox Blogger of Infidels Are Watching with your host, Kel Fritzy. Glad you could join me today. Now, if you were listening to the show on Friday, I did a shout-out for the Jewish Defense League of Canada and Act for Canada in support of their counter rally they were to hold on Saturday, August 3rd, in protest of the Al-Quds rally that they were supposed to have at Queen's Park, the Al-Quds gang. Now, on Friday, I also came across news that their permit had been denied by the sergeant-at-arms at Queen's Park. Well, guess what? They were granted a permit in the end anyway. So the Al-Quds rally carried on. Well, so did that of the Jewish Defense League and Act for Canada. And one of my guests, my very special guest, Shadna Kapoor, she is one of the organizers of one of these counter rallies, and she is going to join me on the air in a few minutes. I'm going to call her and bring her on the show. And this ought to be interesting because I have never called a guest before from the studio. So guess what? A learning experience, and you get to witness it live on the air. Isn't that something? But just to refresh your memories, just in case you could not listen to Friday's show or if you're not familiar with what Al-Quds is, this is an annual event that takes place on the last Friday of Ramadan. They had theirs on Saturday, though. It's supposed to be on every Friday, but I don't know. Now, this was known as International Quds Day. This is known, it began in Iran in 1979. Now, this was something set up by the Ayatollah Khomeini in solidarity with the Palestinians and their quest to reclaim the city of Jerusalem. Of course, as you know, those nasty Jews, they are mere occupiers. They're sitting on their land and they want Jerusalem back. Well, you know what? Good luck with all that because you're not getting it. It's not yours. It belongs to the Jewish state. So get over yourselves, please. Enough of this. But they run around. They create all sorts of problems. They incite hatred, literal hatred. They get their kids involved. I got a couple of clips here I want to play for you that Shelby sent to me. And these are young children espousing garbage. It is absolutely believable. But like I say, yeah, their permit was granted. I don't know how that happened. You know what? We can probably go in and take a little look and see what happened. How did this manage to occur? Well, it would turn out that the mass Islamity, I love that, mass Islamity, it took place north of Wellesley, and that is a portion of what is commonly referred to as the Queen's Park. It was actually administered by the City of Toronto and not by the Sergeant of Arms at Queen's Park. So, the city granted the permit. I don't believe that. Wow. Anyway, Shobi can fill us in more on that. I find this incredible. I am asking all of you guys in the Toronto area or anywhere, contact the City of Toronto and demand answers and write to the Mayor, Rob Ford. And call Rob Ford on his radio show. Yeah, he has a radio show on, I believe it's Sunday afternoons, either 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. on News Talk 1010 out of Toronto. Yeah, call his radio show. Ask him, why did you grant the permit to the Islamists to carry on with their Al-Quds hate fest? Now, what I'm going to do right now, though, is that I am getting close to the 10-minute mark into the show, and this is when I'm supposed to call Shelby. So I'm going to do that right now and bring Shelby in, and she can explain exactly what went on. Let me see here. Bear with me. Warned it out. Okay, I think I'm getting this figured out. Oh, it's ringing.
Hello, Yay. Kel?
Shelby, hey. Hello, how are you?
Good, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfect. Hey, I've never phoned anybody out of the studio before. This went on like went off like a charm. There you go.
Good.
I was just filling people in on I was just giving them the brass tacks on what Al-Quds is, the hate fest that it is, how it was created by the Ayatollah Khomeini, and I was just reading to to my listeners that they were indeed granted a permit in the end to march in Queen's Park by the City of Toronto.
Yeah, apparently.
How on earth is this? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there because the Sergeant of Arms, Comrade Wynne did something right for a change. They weren't given the permit to be on the lawn of Queen's Park due to public safety concerns. But I guess the sneaky buggers, they got the City of Toronto to approve the permit. Now, it was just the rally was just moved just north of the original site, and apparently that park is City of Toronto property. So.
Is that so? Okay, because I understood that it was actually Queen's Park property. So it's City of Toronto property. Okay.
That's what we were told,
because,
somebody should follow up
or
on that.
Something we were told. Because I'm reading this from Blazing Cat Fur, and I'm thinking to myself, how can the City of Toronto override provincial legislature? Because if that's provincial property, but apparently it belongs to the City of Toronto, so we've been told. But I have been reviewing all of these clips that you posted from Blazing Cat Fur, and some of them, I'm telling you, are just absolutely unbelievable. Little children carrying on speeches, pointing to those nasty Zionists, and I assume she was pointing at all of you guys.
Yes. Yeah, I think that for me, there's the worst video was of a boy who appeared to be prepubescent, 10 or 11, and he was stating that Israel is a falsehood, Israel is a cancer.
Oh, yeah.
This year there were fewer people. I think maybe between 500 to 1,000 people in the Al-Quds rally, but it was worse because it appeared that there were the children and the women took more of a forefront, and there was also disgusting rap music being played, free Palestine. And looking at their side and looking at our side, I saw a huge difference in ages. Our side is older, their side they're younger, and I would say that video of the boy, being used for propaganda purposes is child abuse. And this is the future of Canada. It's terrifying.
Shelby, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm viewing these videos. I'm looking at these children, and I'm thinking to myself, this is in Canada. And it makes you wonder what they're being taught in the madrasas as well, right underneath our Canadian noses.
Yeah, well, there was busloads of people coming from mosques into this rally,
Yeah. They seem very well-spoken. They seem beyond their years in their cadence, in their speech. I found that rather frightening. They're maturing these children out way too fast. They are being so totally indoctrinated into this false belief that the city of Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinian people. And I call them the Palestinians, by the way. I am concerned, and we should be concerned, because they have these rallies. They're international rallies, too, ladies and gentlemen. There was one that took place in the UK on Saturday as well. They take place in Germany, Sweden, all over the planet pretty much, eh, Shelby?
Yeah, there is. Well, they displayed four different flags, one of Iran, of course, Palestine, the Assad regime of Syria, which, of course, has killed over 100,000 people recently in the civil war, and Hezbollah flags were raised. Last year, they were told to put their flags away, but this year they were arrogantly and blatantly displayed, and the police did nothing about it. We do know that Hezbollah is a banned terrorist group. The head of Hezbollah has stated openly that all Jews should be in one place so he doesn't have to individually hunt them down and kill them. Also, Blograth noted in his blog that the Bulgarian bus bombing, which killed several Israeli tourists, that was done by Hezbollah, and one out of the two suspects is a Canadian Muslim. So what we're doing is we're having, right now Canada is a springboard where we're nursing these vipers in our bosom, then they go and slither off to other countries and blow up people, but at some point we're going to also get a terrorist attack on Canadian soil. I think that is absolutely shameful, and it should have been illegal for those flags, those Hezbollah flags, to have been raised in downtown Toronto this Saturday, August the 3rd. Why bother designating Hezbollah as a terrorist group when people can just openly display them? And some women, they use them as fashion accessories, as scarves, and, what's next? Can we display Al-Qaeda flags while the police just look the other way?
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, Hamas and Hezbollah, they're outlaw terrorist groups, for goodness sake, and they are getting away with displaying these flags. And I think that I assume, of course, that there was a police presence there. I do not understand why some of them were not pulled aside or their flags were not confiscated. I do not understand the dimitude sometimes of the police force there. I don't know if they're still smarting from that fatal shooting of that 18-year-old or if it's just a general attitude that we do not want to offend Islam. And I find that the biggest offense myself, because we have to start offending Islam, because they're getting away with way too much within our Western societies, and it's time for us to finally put a stop to it. And the way to do that, they are trying to embattle us with their legalese, their legal means, and within our own laws. They work within our own laws, and those own laws work against us some days. Nothing is being done about this, them pushing the envelope in our faces. Nothing is being done, but it's about time that we start letting Islam know that we are going to offend you, and we don't care. And that includes things like the police doing their jobs in arresting people, or at least pulling people aside and saying, look, those flags are illegal. Put them away or you're going off to jail.
I can tell you that if any other country was attacked besides Israel, if there were people demonstrating and openly declaring that Muslims should be shot, this would be a national scandal. I didn't see anybody from CBC there or CTV. I believe that Sun News Network was there and the bloggers and perhaps Joanne Hill from Jewish Tribune, but the silence was deafening from the lamestream media. Also, one of the videos, there was the former president of Palestine House stating that Jews must leave Jerusalem or Palestine or be killed. We will give them 2 minutes' notice, then we will start shooting. He then spoke a verse from the Quran, which Jonathan Halevi kindly translated, which was a call for jihad against non-believers, basically the verse translated as, and prepare against them whatever you are able of power and of steeds of war. This is in downtown Toronto on Saturday. Now, who's them? And prepare against them whatever you are able of power and of steeds of war. Them? Jews? Unbelievers? I don't know. This would not be tolerated against any other group of people. It appears that there is no rule of law, that you can call for the destruction of Israel and the genocide of Jews, and nothing is done about it. I mean, last year, I have to say, at least Tim Hudak had the guts, the spine to disagree with the granting of the permit to hold the Al-Quds rally at Queen's
mm-hmm.
Park. And Kathleen, well, Comrade Wynne did get it right this year. A stopped clock is right at least two times a day. But the organizers are very clever, and apparently they went to the City of Toronto and the rally was just moved a very short distance. So, this is intolerable. And definitely people should follow up on that. JDL organized the rally, JDL Canada. There are also representatives from my group, the Canadian Patriotic Society, the Never Again group from Hamilton as well. And there are individuals that just felt as Canadians, this is against Canadian values. We have rule of law, we have public safety concerns, national security concerns. We have these pro-terrorists marching here for I don't know how many years, decades, and nothing is being done about it.
Absolutely, and we do have all of our organizations, and everybody works so very hard to expose Islam for what it is. And you, Shawna Kapoor, you are a tireless voice in the fight, in the battle against Islam and the Islamization of the planet in general. Tell us about how did you get involved in doing all of this? Were you like me, more or less? I woke up on 9/11. That was my first lesson in Islam. But how did you become so actively involved? And like I say, mm-hmm. you do work tirelessly. The Canadian Patriot Society, you work, that's your group.
Yes.
You work closely with the JDL. You work closely with Act for Canada, and you are an instrumental contributor to Blazing Cat Fur. How did you get involved in all of this?
I have always been a lefty until recently. I grew up. I started my own business. I I basically stopped watching, the news. I went to the blogs, and from the blogs, I got onto Blazing Cat Fur. I learned. I got Ezra Levant was promoting his book, The Enemy Within, about Omar Khadr and the Khadr family in my neighborhood in Scarborough. I read the book, and it just really stirred. It inspired me to take action. Now I had heard stories of members of my family as Hindus, how we were persecuted, and the truth was so horrible that I think I just I couldn't process it, and I just I ignored it, and I denied the truth. I was brainwashed in the school system and by the media, and and basically used as a puppet by the left because I was an exotic looking person. And I can tell you, since I've turned around and turned conservative, the socialists are the most vicious sexists. I've been called horrible names by them. And, I just feel like I'm atoning for my past sins. But I just want to say that the freedom of speech of one person like Ezra inspired me. And that's what true leadership is, when you create other leaders. And not watching the news, not being brainwashed by the CBC. I just was curious, and I went to the blogs, and one of the first blogs was Blazing Cat Fur. There was a story about the Mosqueteria, so I got interested in that. And all the pieces fit. And I feel like I've actually come home to who I am as a person, what my values are. And I'm looking beyond my own, my own self-interest and looking at the next generation. I don't have any children, but I do have a niece. And I want her to grow up prosperous without the fear of terrorist attacks. And I don't know if she can. I mean, I grew up never having to worry about this stuff. I always felt I was safe in this country, that I could, make a living, that I could provide, have enough to have a home, a car. I can't say that for her. So it's...
Oh, absolutely.
We conservatives are called selfish and hard-hearted. We're not. We are kind and loving because we don't want to pass, our debt, our terrorism to the next generation. And that is what keeps me going, because sometimes I think, why bother? There's so much apathy. There's so much moral inversion and lies and hypocrisy. And it's like knocking your head against a wall. But I just can't do that. I just feel pulled back into, just fighting back in whatever way I can.
Exactly. And Shobi, I will tell you, I always say to myself that I do this show, I do it twice a week. Every week, I've been doing it for well over a year now. And a lot of people ask me the same question, why do you do it? Because some days it can really wear you down, especially when you're doing research for a story and you come across a video or you come across something so horrific that you can't absorb it. But I do carry on, and I do it, and I tell people why I do it. I do it because I want our future generations to know that Christianity, Judaism, other world religions are not things out of fairy tales, that this is what we are, this is what we have to protect, this is our legacy that we have to pass on to our future generations, because if we don't, they'll never forgive us, or they'll never remember what freedom and democracy ever was. That will be a myth. Told to them secretly in whispers in the middle of the night. This is why I do it, because I want to prevent that. I want to see a prosperous generation after generation after generation, and we have to combat the scourge of Islam. But yeah, you and Ezra Levant, you guys are quite good friends. As a matter of fact, you have been a guest on his show, The Source, on Sun News Media. A couple of times. He came to you had a huge town hall meeting there last year in Toronto, and that was
we
to keep Omar Khadr out of Canada.
Yeah, we had it at Canada Christian College. It was about Omar Khadr. We did have a petition, two petitions to be presented to Parliament. Unfortunately, he was returned to Canada, and but we did have a petition to try him for treason, which Roxanne James, MPP in Scarborough Central, did present. But of course, that was unsuccessful. But there had to be some kind of movement towards that, because it's a moral principle. We had to do it for righteousness. And, I look at this as a war. It's a long-term war. Certain battles are going to be lost, but the individual just has to keep moving forward And, you know, at this point, I don't take anything personally. I mean, listen, Saturday I have better things to do on a beautiful summer day than be called racist and, you know, apartheid by, you know, a bunch of morally inverted pro-terrorists. But, you know, as I said, both of us are in it for the long haul. I, speaking only for myself, not for my group, I see this as a struggle between good and evil. I see this, you know, I believe in God, and I believe that, you know, when things get too tough, I just say, okay, God, work through me, and my responsibility is just to be an open channel for God. And again, this is for myself. I mean, we have atheists, we have, you know, other people from different religions who feel differently. But seeing it that way makes me feel that, you know, that it's less of a burden on me.
It is good. And I always say to people, too, that we have to work as a collective. And a lot of people get confused by that because, well, Islam, they're nothing but a collective. They all think alike. It's like, but the difference is that we are autonomous individuals working together, unlike those under the thumb of Islam, where their collectiveness is dictated to them by an evil green book, and they follow it blindly like mice. We are not like that, but we do have voices. We are strong. We have to work together. We have to make people aware just how dangerous Islam is to the West. A lot of people are not waking up to that at this point. I have family members that I barely even speak to anymore because they think that I'm nothing but an Islam. I get all the names too, Shobi. I get them all. I've been called very, very nasty things in my Facebook pages and on the show. I have had people lowball me, calling into the show and nearly getting away with the expletives of. Fortunately, I usually catch them in time, but yes. But like I say, it is very hard. It's hard to make people understand why this is so important. This is why we do it. This is how we have to go about it. And we have to go about it smartly. We have to really, really think with our minds. And I like the rallies. I like the counter rallies. I love the town hall meetings. Those are great. And if I didn't live in the middle of nowhere, I would have been there on Saturday. But this is how we do it. We work as a group, we cooperate as a group, and we make others aware as a group what we are doing, why we're doing it. Right, Shobi?
And I just want to say, too, that I have, you know, I have Muslims in my family. They're Ismaili. As far as I'm concerned, no, Ismailis don't blow up things. The women aren't veiled. You know, there's a lot more freedom there. But I do wish that some moderate Muslims had actually come to the rally on Saturday, and I do feel that, you know, to have a dialogue with moderate Muslims, there needs to be at least two things. Number one, there needs to be a very honest discussion of Muhammad and the example that he sets. Number two, there needs to be an honest discussion of the verses in the Quran that call, you know, and there are many of them that call for the murder or subjugation of the, you know, infidel. And working from there, we can go forward, but it's disingenuous to just say, you know, it's a religion of peace that's been hijacked, and I'm in a very different position because I would like Islam to be reformed, but I think it's naive and disingenuous to say that we can work, you know, and try to reform it without looking at those two things. So I would just wish there was more. Again, I was very disappointed on Saturday that there weren't more people, more moderate Muslims there. I don't know if there was any group representing them, and you know. Being called also a bigot and a hate monger, that's nonsense. I love everything, but exposing the hatred that's, you know, that's in the Quran, for example, does not make you a hater. So that's, it's just, it's very, you know, you can't speak the truth. There's a huge, you know, we're being shut down. And again, what we saw on Saturday would never be tolerated, you know, having a group calling for, you know, if you're raising flags of a terrorist group that's, you know, dedicated to the slaughter of Muslims, those flags never would have been allowed to be raised. Why is it that Jews are, that it's okay to do this to Jews? You know, I'm not Jewish. I've never been to Israel. But it's so obvious to me as a proud Canadian of what's going on. And, you know, this is, number one, Jews are our brothers and sisters. But number two, you know, these Islamists are going to come after us too. I'm a Hindu. I'm even lower than the people of the book. So, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, we have to work together and overcome our differences, you know, what's happened in the past and unite. Otherwise, we're just going to be hung separately.
You brought up some of the videos here, and I do have the one video here. I have all of them. I have that one with Zafira Bangash, and he should be arrested, I think, for hate speech.
He's associated with the Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought. Yeah, he's absolutely nuts. If you ever want to have a good laugh, bring some Zantec and click on to Crescent International. That's his online publication. He blames Zionism for everything. And by the way, this is the man that NDP Paul Dewar and Bob Ray wanted to have as part of Omar Khadr's rehabilitation team. So, you know, he's nuts. Like, he's very he's paranoid as well. And you know, he basically, when he screams about Zionism, he actually means Judaism. He uses all that Zionism, we're against Zionism, not Judaism, but no one believes that, you know. You know, the chants in the rally, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Well, where is Israel going to go?
Oh,
well,
boy.
Of course, it's going to be, you know, thrown in the sea. So.
Exactly.
I don't know. Zafira Bangash and Ali Mala were there, too. Ali Mala is another crazy local Muslim in Toronto. NDP, he's a unionist. And he was there on 9/11 last year in front of the Omar Khadr residence, leading the pro Omar Khadr side. And they sat down when we sang the national anthem. So these are the people that we're talking about. They're not true Canadians. They're here to colonize us. They're not here to integrate. And I think I saw maybe one Canadian flag there, but the rest were, you know, Iranian, Palestinian, Syrian, and Hezbollah.
Which almost makes me angry. How dare they utilize my flag in their hate fest? That kind of upsets me, but I understand exactly what you're talking about. But can you stay with me for a few more minutes? I want to play this speech, or this clip rather, by this young lad that you brought up at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, just looking at him, he can't be more than 11 or 12, if that.
He's
unbelievable. But I want to play a little bit of it for my listening audience so they have an idea of what happened on Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Just listen to this for a minute, guys, here. I'm just bringing it up. If my mouse will, there we go. Just take a listen for a few seconds of this, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to view any of these videos, I have them all, the coverage of the El Quds rally, from Blazing Cat, for courtesy of Shobi. You can find the link right in my show highlights. I put all the links there. You got the link to the Blazing Cat Fur. You got the link to Act for Canada. You got the link to Jewish Defense League Canada right there in my show notes. And for my archive listeners, please also check out those links and check out all these videos. But, yeah, Shobi, wow. Mm. And the scroll at the end of this video. I'm sorry, I had to play it through because I'm sitting here and I'm fascinated. I almost forgot I was doing a radio show because my jaw was dropping to my desk. But the one thing that was screened, this is multiculturalism. I'm very concerned.
Well, this is propaganda. They take little words here and there and, you know, they twist them around. I mean, we're seeing talks about, settler, Zionism is killing Palestinians to make space for settlers. There's also a collusion with some radical natives with the Islamists. So if you ever go on Zafar Bangish's online site, Crescent International, you'll see this kind of propaganda used. This is... If this is multiculturalism, then I want Pierre Elliott Trudeau to be tried for treason.
I would love for that to happen. Do you have any thoughts about too bad we can't now.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have any thoughts about Justin Trudeau? I did a show, I did a segment about him on my show, about him running around with these Islamist groups, and he doesn't seem to know exactly what he's gotten himself into. When he's running around with these groups,
He's definitely dumber than his father. But his Middle East advisors are very scary. Omar El Jabri is, and his brother Sasha. And last year, Justin attended an Islamist conference that was co-sponsored by a Hamas-linked group. So but I do get the sense that he's very stupid. He's very popular with the ladies. It's that lovely shiny hair of his. So it is something to be concerned about. His comments after the Boston bombing, the massacre, was that, we have to try to understand why these youth feel. I can't remember the terminology. So in other words, the West is at fault. We are in big trouble if he gets in. He's also, he's also more sympathetic towards Omar Khadr. So, who knows? Maybe, we are in a very dangerous times. I hope that we can have a conservative, even minority government, but we are in big trouble if he gets in. He will finish the job of his father.
Oh, absolutely. And, in fact, he'll reverse this country back pre-Stephen Harper time. His time in office. I think Stephen Harper is very well aware of the threat of Islam. However, he as a politician, and because he has to represent all of Canada, and unfortunately that also includes our policy of official multiculturalism, he's got to tread very carefully. But I have faith that Stephen Harper, and I have a lot of faith in Jason Kenney and John Baird, that they know what Islam is. They understand the threat that Islam represents, and they are trying to do something about it. For example, when they came out with the new Canadian handbook the Handbook for New Canadians, and it was a guide, and of course they had the section in there about how honor killings, genital mutilation, so on and so forth, were not values of Canada and would not be tolerated. And Justin Trudeau, what did he come out and say? Well, I think I think it's kind of barbaric to bring that up, don't you think, or along those lines. This is Justin Trudeau.
He didn't
like
the word barbaric practices. He felt that was some kind of, insult to honor killings.
That's it.
Well, I
that's
think that
it.
This rally that happened, show some impetus for immigration reform, because we can't just keep letting people into our country who don't want to assimilate. And we're reaching a tipping point where, as I said, we have a lot of, right now Canada is a springboard where these terrorist groups are going abroad and blowing up people, and we're seeing so many Canadians involved. At some point, it's likely to happen here. So we need to stop the enemy from coming within. I don't know, what will take. I mean, we have to have the reform now. I mean, look at what's happening in Europe. We're heading in that direction.
Oh, for goodness sake. I'm telling you, there is a radio show right here on Block Talk Radio. It's called the East Anglian CDL Radio Show. And the host and the co-host, they're both out of England, and they will tell you what's going on in England. This is what they do. They are very much involved with the English Defense League, and you listen to that show, and they'll tell you what's going on in England, and it is frightening to listen to some of the things that are happening in terms of the Islamic sex grooming gangs, how they're taking advantage of otherwise isolated 14-year-old girls, 13-year-old girls. They take advantage of these so-called social outcasts. They embrace them. They befriend them. And next thing you know, they're being passed around in a grooming gang. This is happening in England, and it was the English Defense League that exposed this going on, and it was because English Defense League is so successful as a pressure group that the authorities finally had to recognize that, yes, there was an Islamic problem within England. They finally addressed this. Numerous arrests, many, many people arrested, thrown in jail for this. But it still goes on, Shobi, over there. Now, is this what we want for Canada? Is this what we want for the United States? Because it's coming if we don't stop it.
We're in a position where we have some more time, but you know, we need to pressure the government to do something, and it'll take individuals and grassroots groups that are not reliant on corporate donations, that don't get money from the government, to do something, because once you get that involved, you know, the things get corrupted. You know, you can't act. You have to worry about money and votes. So it will take the common person, and it's important for people to come out on the street and counter protest. I mean, I understand, you know, trying to get politicians involved, and B'nai B'rith tried, and look what happened. You know, like, these, we're dealing with thugs and terrorists, and they need to see a show of force on the street. You know, bullies need to, they are emboldened when nobody shows up to counter protest. So I really hope that for next year, for the Al-Quds, the abomination that's Al-Quds, that there are more counter protests, and maybe some better organization along the lines. It doesn't even matter if there's 100 to their 1,000. They need to see those bodies, and I do believe it does make a difference. And the media may be forced to, you know, cover the protest. Again, I'm absolutely disgusted that, you know, CBC and CTV aren't there. Now, CBC is really quick to jump and erroneously call JDL Canada a banned terrorist group in Canada. But were they there you know, on Saturday to photograph the Hezbollah flags and complain about it? No, they weren't. It doesn't fit into their leftist, you know, identity politics that Muslims are always the victims. And, you know, no, sometimes they're not.
Well, it doesn't fit the CBC narrative that Canada is a homogeneous country and we're all multicultural and we all sit down and we sing Kumbaya together, when in fact that is not the truth. Official multiculturalism has rendered this country from a social political standpoint, as far as I'm concerned. And for you guys, CBC is a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It is a state-funded news outlet. Yes, our tax dollars pay for their dimitude, and they are very, very left-leaning. Very, Justin Trudeau is their best friend. People like that.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked. I'm shocked that CBC wasn't out there. I'm actually shocked that CTV was not out there. They're a little better.
No, as I said, if this was against any other religious group besides Jews, that they would have been out there. It does seem that the left has thrown Jews under the bus, and we've seen how they've thrown young white girls under the bus in the UK, and you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens when we see more gays being killed by the Islamist thugs. So what I personally just feel, after knocking on doors in the last by-election a few times and talking to voters and dealing with this whole left Islam issue, is that once a certain number of people either work for the government or they are dependent on the government for their wages, this slide, you know, democracy is beginning to fail, because they will just vote for bigger government. They'll vote for short-term gain, to suck off the trough. And, statism and Islamism, they're connected. They're both fascists, and they feed off each other, and it's a downward spiral. So I just feel that, you know, act now, and otherwise we are going down the route of Greece, and we're going down the route economically and down the route of Europe in terms of having constant terrorist attacks.
Well, you know, and it starts out very, very quietly, and it starts out very slowly, but it escalates rather quickly. I was listening to a radio program here on Blog Talk Radio, in fact, and the gentleman was talking about his town, and he was saying that next thing you know, the Somalians immigrated, and they moved to my community because we were a rich community. I belonged to what used to be a rich state. So they all came over and they started demanding the welfare and they started demanding their health care and they started demanding this and they started demanding that. And it got to the point where the mayor of that community said, please, Somalians, don't come anymore. You're bankrupting us. This is what they do. This is what we're seeing in Europe all over the place. Look what's happening in Malmo, Sweden, for example. They're all, the economic ramifications of Islam as well on individual communities is unreal.
Well, the
they
amount
come
of
over
money
here.
Yeah, just to survive,
yeah.
Just for security purposes, it's death by a thousand cuts. I would recommend that anyone that's serious about this issue to, you know, learn how to, you know, at least video or document incidences and learn to protect yourself, but learn, you know, legally, of course, arm yourself, because things can happen very quickly and get out of hand on the street. And, you know, as I said, the last year's rally, the cops, they arrested or nearly arrested a man for bringing his dog for possibly offending Muslims at the Al-Quds rally. But it's okay for the Hezbollah flags to be raised. I mean, we have to learn to protect ourselves as we speak the truth, because the freedom of speech is, a lot of people are being sued or threatened, and when they're getting too close to the truth.
Oh, yeah, that was Cupcake. That was Cupcake,
yes.
The dog. And
yes.
And that's a gentle mastiff. That's a beautiful creature. His owner takes him to children's hospitals to visit sick children. And he was just walking his dog through the park on Queen's Park on the Commons, and that is allowed. It's a free country. We still live in Canada, don't we? But, yeah, you're right, Shelby. What did the police do? They arrest him instead and threaten to charge him with incitement. Why? Because he was walking through the park with his dog during an Al-Quds rally. And he was physically assaulted as well. He was punched in the chest. But the person who punched him in the chest, one of the Cole Hate Fest ralliers, he was not questioned by the police at all. I don't understand. And this is exactly what you and I are getting at, is that they are so eager. For some reason, the authorities, the police, the politicians, they seem so eager to protect the rights and the integrity of those within Islam. But we step out of line, even walking our dog through a park, that we're the ones pulled aside and told, don't do that. However, they can fly those Hezbollah flags and not a word is said. Shobi, I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah, it doesn't portend well for the future, but it should be a wake-up call. As I said, I didn't organize the event, but I hope that JDL Canada does follow up on who granted the permit, on the City of Toronto, and, look at this as evidence that we need to really have immigration reform. This is just a symptom of, a lot of problems in our society, and this rallies have been going on for I think, 20 years or more. I have to get going to see my family now. But
yes, I was going to say I have held you for a lot longer than 30 minutes.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Shelby, I really appreciate your taking the time. I know how busy you are. You are tireless. You are so busy. I will talk to you soon with my eternal gratitude. Thank you for coming on the show and explaining to my listeners an insider's look at the Al-Quds rally that took place in Toronto, Ontario, Canada on August 3rd. Shelby, I will be talking with you soon.
God bless you, Kel. Thank you.
God bless you, Shelby.
Bye.
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so very much for joining me.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye Bye. And that was, of course, Shobana Kapoor, tireless activist, voice out there. She's got a voice out there. She is speaking to you. She is telling us what is going on out there. And she was gracious enough to join me on my program today. I am so thankful for that. Like I say, Shobana Kapoor, her organization, the Canadian Patriot Society, like I say, she is also actively busy with the Jewish Defense League of Canada and Act for Canada, and she is a major contributor to Blazing Cat Fur. Now, I am going to take a quick break. Oh, and by the way, Shobana Kapoor, you can find her as a regular on Sun Television Media. She is usually interviewed by Ezra Levant or Michael Corrin. Lucky lady, because those two are my personal media heroes. But there you go. Shobana is, her name is a household name in our circles. She is really doing things. She is so kinetically involved. I have such admiration for her. So when I have a chance to speak with people like this who inspire me, believe me, I'm going to jump on that chance. And I had that chance today. And like I say, wow, a wonderful, wonderful person. I'm going to take a quick break. I do have a few more clips I want you to listen to, but I'm just going to play a little song and let you guys perhaps refresh your tea and do what it is what you do. I will see you back here in a few minutes.
Appeasement. Appeasement. Dressed up as political compromise. It's immediate. The benefits seem immediate
and popular.
And tangible. Peace at what price? But is it not an illusion? Are we not kidding ourselves? Not just staving off the day of reckoning. Can evil ever be compromised? Ever be compromised?
Right, evil will live on unless we stop it in its tracks right now. The people like Shobana Kapoor, people like those over at Radio Jihad Network, EDL, all the work we're trying to do, the American Defense League, Act for Canada, Blazing Cat Fur, all these organizations, Canadian Patriot Society, Red Fox Blogger. Everybody is trying to raise awareness as to what is going on around us in terms of what Islam is, what Islam does, and what Islam will become to mean to us if we let it continue unfettered. Now, I played that clip about the about 20 minutes ago, I guess. That was the young boy in Toronto. That clip he played. Here is an excerpt of what he said. He said, "Zionism preaches corruption and oppression and tyranny around the world. All these insurgencies you see in Syria, they are blaming it on us. These Zionist thugs you see over there, they are the representation of all these problems and fitness in the world. They are behind the insurgencies. Israel is a falsehood. Their tyranny, their corruption, their cancers, and they're terrorizing all the Palestinians. Israel is an illegal, terrorizing racist group which works for the destruction of humanity and peace in the world." This from a kid who can't be any more like me and Shelby determined, 11 or 12 years old, espousing this garbage in Canada. Shabna brought up a really good point. She is worried for the future of our children if this is how they are being raised within the clutches, the tentacles of Islam. This is Islam. They are grooming these children for hate. They are grooming these children to despise Israel and deny her right to exist. This is what we're facing. This is not somewhere over there, guys. This is right here in our backyards. This is what we have to combat. This is why we have to keep busy. This is why we cannot slow down. We cannot drop the ball on this. This is way too important. This is way too a critical juncture in our history right now. We have to do it now. We have to work together. We have to make people aware just how big this threat is. Now, I have another clip here. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I just want to play a little bit for you, just to give you an idea of how these children, pardon me, are being abused within Islam. It is shocking, I know, but it should not be, because this is a day in the way of the life of an Islamist. These people should be arrested for child abuse. Listen to this young girl. She sounds, I got a photo of her, but it's of her back. She could be anywhere from, 11 to 14. She can't be any older than that, though, just by the diction in her voice. But take a listen to what she had to say at the Al-Quds Islamo rally on Saturday. And it is child abuse.
Now, let me tell you our hatred. Yes, indeed. We do hate. We hate oppression. We hate suppression. We hate expulsion, and we hate exploitation. And we will continue to hate these things till the day oppression, suppression, expulsion, and exploitation is eliminated from the face of this earth.
I'm just going to stop it right there. I think you got an idea where I'm going with this. Al-Quds Day, to mark the end of Ramadan. I do not like this in my country. I know you don't like it in yours, but it's happening in the West, everywhere. Like I say, these rallies are international. They had theirs in the UK as well. I don't know what we have to do, guys, to stop this. Stop the Islamity. I love that. I love it very much. But I get so tired of it. And I'm just trying to find, I had something here I wanted to share with you, and I'm just trying to find it because I am always, you know, having things jump around on me. But Shelby brought up a really good point. I really like this. Why were they allowed to fly those flags of Hezbollah if that is a banned terrorist organization in the West, in Canada, and in the United States? Why were they not pulled aside? Why did they get away with it? Are we that afraid of them? Pardon me. Are we that intimidated by them to the point where we will not utter a word of protest when they talk about killing Jewish peoples, killing the infidel? Why is the Quran not critically looked at within our governments for the hate crime that it is? It's hate literature. It's a crime. We have our churches crumbling to the ground, but their mosques flourish. In the UK, for example, there are more mosques than there are churches. Why is that? Why is the most popular name amongst baby boys Muhammad? Why is that? How did this happen? How did we come to this juncture? And what are we going to do about it? You know, just little, like little things that escalate into big things. Little things, little stories, but they all, when you put them all together, it gives you a big picture of how destructive Islam is. For example, there was an incident in Colorado last week, okay? There were threats from a Muslim jihadist, and the Fort Collins police had to caution religious organizations. Yeah, that's right. Apparently, there is some jihadist running around creating mayhem. Now, there are no details including the man's identity. At the time, they were not immediately available, and I'm looking to see if they are now. That's why I sound like I'm kind of halting because I'm jumping from screen to screen, but so far I can't find an update. But this, like I said, occurred last week. There were threats made in general regard to the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints and Catholic Church, and no local organizations were specifically referenced in the Fort Collins Police Service's memo. Now, Reverend Stephen Voss said the Archdiocese of Denver shared with him on Friday the Fort Collins Police Service's memo, and reading its words of caution made his blood run cold. Okay? But between Sunday Masses at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Voss said he's pretty confident he and his parishioners won't have an interaction with the man he was told was nonviolent. And to give worshipers a sense of peace, he asked a Fort Collins Police Services officer to keep watching during the weekend services. Apparently, I'm just trying to see where this is. He read the police bulletin during the Mass on Saturday, and there was an audible gasp. It escaped those seated in the pews. A day later, after the initial kind of having your breath taken away moment, there was a greater sense of calm, and he was believed that was due in part to the police presence. Now, there's a spokesperson with the Church of the Latter-day Saints in Salt Lake City, Utah. They weren't available for comment on Sunday, nor could the Coloradian immediately reach anyone with a local LSD church. But they described someone as a white man in his early 30s. He was contacted by police on Tuesday in Steamboat Springs when an officer reportedly saw him attempting to shoot a video while driving. Wearing a T-shirt wrapped around his head and a bandana and sunglasses over his face, the man allegedly told police everyone would know who he was in the next 2 weeks, but he didn't elaborate. Steamboat Springs Police Department Sergeant Jeff Wilson said the man, who police say claimed he was an Archangel Michael, was spotted leaving Rocky Mountain National Park Thursday. Now it is coming to light that he might be an Islamist. Now, I have a clip here from the Fort Collins police warning churches about a threat. Maybe they can make more sense out of it than I'm making right now, so I'm going to play it for you. Take a listen. And, of course, I got a pop-up. I got to love those pop-ups, eh? Do you want to buy insurance from Geico? Eh? Get your own little Geico doll. Get a free Geico doll when you buy Geico insurance. All right, come on, Ad. That's enough of you. That's enough. Oh, I love doing live radio. It's just groovy. Here we go.
There are churches in Fort Collins who are having to consider more security because of a threat. Fort Collins police have sent out a bulletin warning the churches about a man who said he was going to target religious organizations. 9 News reporter Nick McGurk joined us live from Fort Collins. And Nick, police say this man made some very specific threats, and he used the word destroyed.
And Cheryl, it's that kind of threat that has churches definitely taking this, well, potential threat very seriously. At St. Joseph Parish behind me, a police officer right next to the church during Mass, which is going on right now. This is not just Fort Collins. Apparently, this man has been on the radar in Estes Park and in Steamboat Springs. Police warning churches to take any sort of suspicious behavior seriously. A police officer sits parked outside St. Joseph Parish in Old Town Fort Collins.
The church has had a presence here for over 100 years.
A decision Pastor Stephen Voss says he's never had to make.
It does, in some sense, just make your blood run cold to think that someone would even allude to the fact that they would want to do some harm or violence.
The Archbishop of Denver notified Catholic churches on Friday
that there had been some interesting threats and statement made against the Mormon Church and then the Catholic Church.
The description given out by Fort Collins Police says the man is a self-proclaimed Islamic jihadist who claims in the next 2 weeks everyone will know who he is.
Everyone had a sense that we were perfectly safe, but, you know, there's always that little nagging thought saying, but what if?
And so today, Voss hired an off-duty police officer to sit outside while Voss read the description at each Mass.
So that brought comfort to myself and I think a number of other parishioners.
Clearly there's no such thing as too careful.
I feel comfortable in God's house.
When safety might be at risk.
You just want to err on the side of safety and make people feel as comfortable as possible.
And in the memo sent out by Fort Collins Police to various religious organizations on Friday, they gave a description of who this man might be. A white male in his early 30s, 6'1", with brown hair and a beard. We're told he wears a t-shirt around his head and might be driving around a white Honda with black spray-painted messages, some of them against the Department of Homeland Security, others religious in nature. Cheryl.
Well, I know his threats are specific to these religious organizations, but good for anyone in the public to keep an eye out and to know the description you were just sharing, Nick.
They want to take this very seriously. Again, watching out for suspicious behavior. You can never be too careful.
All right. Nick McGurk in Fort Collins for us. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah. Islamic terrorist running around threatening Christians. Well, what else is new, huh? So, by the sounds of things, I don't know if they've caught this guy yet. And like I say, I was trying to Google around and see if there was an update, but I can't find anything. I'll have to go to Bare Naked Islam, and maybe she has an update there. But I'm down to my last 10 or so minutes of talking time before I play us out, but I just want to share very briefly with you. I am still delving into this business of Benghazi. Now, apparently there were some quite the developments occurred late last week involving CIA agents. Now, I'm wondering why were they being pretty much gagged? There were CIA agents running around all over the place over there, and now they're being pretty much gagged. They're undergoing polygraph tests to make sure they're not talking to the press or Congress. Now, what are the explanations for the Benghazi cover-ups? Is the Benghazi cover-up just about hiding incompetence, dereliction of duty, and deceptive presidential politics? Or are there more plausible and troubling explanations? Now, there are rumors of a CIA arms smuggling operation in Benghazi. They've been floating around, you know, since the attack, and the principal focus of attention has been accusations of incompetence, dereliction of duty, and the politics of the 2012 presidential election. The Department of State failed to anticipate the terrorist threat in Benghazi. Department of Defense failed to react during the attack to save American lives. President Obama, then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and other top members of the Obama administration conspired to deflect responsibility for Benghazi 2 months before the 2012 presidential election by blaming the attack on that anti-Muslim video. Now, we all know they've since had to backtrack from that one because we know that was a big fail. They had all sorts of spin doctors out there trying to convince you that this was an impromptu riot brought on in protest of this anti-Muslim video to protect Barack Hussein Obama in his bid for re-election as President of the United States. We know now that that was nothing but a big, huge lie. That was a big red herring, babies. You know what? The accusations, they may be true, but the debate about them, it quickly digressed into an argument about who wrote UN Ambassador Susan Rice's talking points. Now, remember Susan Rice? Yeah, she's the one who managed to be on 5 Sunday morning talk shows trying to calm the waters. It's the video. It was just the video. It was just the video. No, Susan Rice. Wow, she was so blowing sunshine, that one. You know what? She was covering up points about what did the president know and when did he know about it. There is no member of his administration, however, they have come forward to answer them, and that's courtesy of John Dean. Now, Fox News and other conservative radio shows, certain Republican members of Congress, they've dogged the Benghazi story from the beginning. But until now, the mainstream media has largely ignored it. They cannot ignore this anymore because what is going on? It is like a rotted onion. You unpeel it and there's more rot underneath. So the mainstream media, you cannot afford to ignore the Benghazi story any longer. I think this is going to be bigger than Watergate and the Iran-Contra scandal. This is what I think. This is what Cal thinks. These terrorists, they killed 4 Americans in Benghazi. You know, but the loss of American life, guys, it's become routine around the world. Ever since 9/11/2001, you hear my weekly jihad report at the beginning of the show. It is phenomenal, the loss of life under the thumb of Islam that occurs on an everyday basis. Now, in November of 2012, in February of 2013, Benghazi, they addressed speculation about CIA people there facilitating the transfer of third country arms to the rebels in Syria via Turkey. Administration representatives testified before Congress and speaking to the media had steadfastly denied this. But CNN, of all places, they unleashed a report. Speculation on Capitol Hill has included the possibility the U.S. agencies operating in Benghazi were secretly helping to move surface-to-air missiles out of Libya through Turkey and into the hands of Syrian rebels. Yeah, you know those guys. The Free Syrian Army? Yeah, they're the cannibals. They're the ones who take Syrian army personnel, literally cut their heart out, eat it, all for the cameras. Yeah, that's what apparently was going on. That the U.S. agencies operating in Benghazi were secretly helping to move surface-to-air missiles out of Libya through Turkey and into the hands of Syrian rebels. I do not know exactly what Christopher Stevens' role in that was. I understand that he was at some sort of meeting trying to quell the violent storm coming his way. I do not know what happened in terms of what, like I say, don't want to delve too deep. I'm still absorbing this, but we will find out. There's more to come. Let's just put it this way. There's a lot more up in Benghazi to come our way. We're going to hear a lot more down the road because you know what? The genie is out of the bottle now. CNN, they exposed something. It's big. It's huge. I'm going to listen to my favorite man later on today, and that is Mark Levin, and see what his take and his updates are all about. Of course, I'm also going to listen to Jimmy C. Zulz and listen to what he has to say about this. Two of my major sources of getting the raw facts and the truth. But like I say, there is something really stinking about this. And I also want to thank E.W. Ross at ewross.com. I got this article from him. So I want to give credit where credit is due. Now I really am down to my last few minutes. So I got a few programming notes for you. All right. Now, like I say, you can hear me all the time talking about Islam, but you know what? I'm not alone in doing it. There are so many other radio programs out there that discuss the issues of Islam. I mentioned a couple of them earlier. But one in particular that I always go to is the Radio Jihad Network, and they have shows 7 days a week. Okay, as a matter of fact, there is one tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is the Vito Esposito show. That is Mamma Mia, No Sharia. But they also have a show on Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is the Andrew Besad show. On Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Eliza Jane show, and that is Freedom Quest 91. On Thursday, the Gadi Edelman show, American Akbar, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On Friday, the Lisa Marie Johnson show. Her time is to be announced, but believe me, she's coming to Fridays to a radio near you. On Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Usama Dakdak show, and that is Revealing the Truth About Islam. And on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Uncle Dave show right here. And I would say we. I use that as a collective because we are all in this together, battling the scourge of Islam. Check out other fine radio programs as well. They are out there. You can find them. We do try our very level best to bring to you what is going on out there in the world of Islam and how it is indeed affecting the West, and certainly not for the better. And finally, a programming note for me. Please try to be here Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. As you know, that's when I tape my other show. Mondays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This Friday, my guest will be Tom Trento of the United West. Yep, Tom Trento will be my guest right here on Blog Talk. What am I saying? I'm always saying Blog Talk Radio, which is acting very bad these days, by the way. On Red Fox Blogger, infidels are watching. 7 p.m. this Friday, my guest, Tom Trento of the United West. And I guess that's it, except to say, Blog Talk Radio, I don't know what's going on with you, but we're having a lot of glitches. If there is a BTR god out there listening to me, please note, Blog Talk Radio is freezing up everybody's pages. The radio hosts, their pages are freezing up. My pages are freezing up. Those of the listeners, their pages are freezing up. It's been happening since last Tuesday, on my end anyway. I don't know if it's been happening longer for other people out there, but it is really bad. Blog Talk Radio. In fact, you kicked me from my own show. Yeah, I was right here. I was in the studio, was ready to go, and boom, Blog Talk Radio dropped me. So while the opening song's playing, here I am, dialing back in. But thank goodness I got through, and I think I got through today without not too many problems. Guys, I want to thank you all for joining me. I really do enjoy doing the show. I like bringing the news to you, the news you will never hear in the mainstream media. I want to thank everybody who joined me in the chat room. That's Kath and Bob and Vito. And I just noticed Vito walked in. Like I say, every time I do the Radio Jihad Network shout-out, Vito, his ears must burn because here he is. But Oh, boy, I had a couple of guests come in the room. I had Dana here earlier. He had to leave and do stuff. I really want to thank you all who listen in archive and those who listen on other devices, and I know that you do. I especially want to thank my guest from today, and that is Shobhi Kapoor, tireless worker, Canadian Patriot Society, Jewish Defense League, Act for Canada. I really am appreciative of her calling in and giving me her first-hand accounts and insights as to what happened in Toronto at the Hate Fest, the Al-Quds rally on Saturday. So thank you, Shobhi, for that. And I also want to thank Blazing Cat Fur. I borrowed heavily from their blog today to do this show, to bring you the latest update on what happened at the rally in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I want to thank Blazing Cat for lifting all their stuff. Like I say, you can find all the videos and you can find a lot more. I've got the link to the Blazing Cat Fur website right there in my show notes. Please click on to Blazing Cat Fur. That is where you'll get the best videos and the best updates, the latest news on the world of Islam. And I also want to thank Blazing Cat Fur for this. Mass Islamity. Stop the insanity. I love it. I'm running with it, baby. I'm stealing that one. Mass Islamity. Gosh. All right, I better get out of here. I'm getting punch drunk now. I'm all excited. But do be at the Vito Esposito show tonight at 6 p.m. I will see you in the chat room. Let's talk about Islam. Guys, have a great afternoon. Have a great week. And like I say, I will see you back here Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, where my guest will be Tom Trento of the United West. Guys, have a great day. Bye-bye.